Again, good morning. Today is a uniquely special day, actually. We have with us a special speaker. I was sitting here thinking, in the 13-year history of Mercy Hill Church, I think I can count on one hand the number of people we've had that have spoken to our congregation from outside the leadership here. And so it is a unique and rare thing. And one of the reasons why today is what it is because of the individual who we're inviting to be a part of this morning's service. Pastor John Davis is a dear friend of Mercy Hill Church, actually, to be honest with you. At the very beginning of our church's existence, Pastor John was the pastor of Poplar Creek in New Berlin, and also served as the sectional presbyter. And because we were a church plant, I was required to meet, I can't remember if it was quarterly or monthly, with the presbyter to get his stamp of approval on things. And so I would meet with John fairly regularly, and throughout the entire process, he was an incredible encouragement to me. And as a result, a great blessing to our congregation. There's one thing I can say about John is he has a pastor's heart. Since then, John has moved on to be the district superintendent for the state of Wisconsin with the Assemblies of God. We as a fellowship as a whole are very blessed that he's in that role. I can tell you when I found out that he was appointed to that position, elected to that position, I was excited because of his heart and who he is. And so I'm excited that he's here because I think he's going to share with us the heart of a pastor. I think that's something that everyone in the church needs. And so would you welcome Pastor John Davis as he makes his way up.
And good morning. And Pastor, good to be with you. Love you, Elise, and family. I've known Elise's family for decades, and Tommy's mom for decades. Didn't know your dad. Would have liked to have known your dad, but, and of course, know you, and we love you and your family, and we're committed to you deeply. So you are blessed to have the leadership God has given to you. Do you agree with that? Thank you. Masked in everything, you can amen. And that is a good thing. My wife Diane is with me. And Diane, if you would just stand so they see you. She does not like to be center of attention. We have three children. Christy married to Ted, and they pastor Poplar Creek Church, New Berlin. Kurt married to Dawn. They have two children, and they pastor in Austin, Texas. And our youngest, Connor, graduated from North Central and has moved to Austin, Texas. His fiance lives there, and he proposed to her Friday night, and she said yes. So our family is growing, and we like her parents and family very, very much. Today I want to talk to you about God's guidance, and in doing so, I also want to address the issue of when God says no. Has that happened to you, that God says no? Eventually, there is going to be a yes, but we don't like waiting for the yeses that come our way. The Apostle Paul lived his life in a meaningful way. He loved God, he loved others, and folks, that is the center of Christianity. Love God, love people, and we do that through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul experienced many hardships. Even so, he knew God was guiding him, and God used the hardships to develop Paul into the man that God wanted him to be, ordering his lifestyle and revealing his purpose through circumstances. Paul experienced continual change, and God was faithfully giving direction through all of those steps. Now, in studying Paul's life, I've concluded he was probably about 10 years younger than Jesus chronologically. Now, eternally, Jesus was forever, but from the time of Christ's incarnation, Paul, probably about 10 years younger, came to faith in Christ the year after Christ's crucifixion. So at the point that we refer to him in the message today, he is in his late 30s. He is on his second missionary journey. His first missionary journey had begun in Antioch, which had become home base. That journey included Barnabas. The second missionary journey included Silas. And the church in Jerusalem had sanctioned Silas to partner with Paul. And they traveled through Syria and Cilicia. They strengthened the churches. And their first stop was most likely Paul's hometown of Tarsus. So I want to talk about the guidance of God and how that guidance involves other people. I'm reading to you from Acts 16, verses 1 through 6. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek, biracial. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. So Paul and Silas traveled north, eventually coming to Derbe and Lystra. Paul had been stoned in Lystra and almost died there on his previous journey. There had to have been enormous emotion in coming back to that city where they almost killed him the last time he was present. Now, Lystra was also the hometown of Timothy, and Paul wanted Timothy to join their ministry team. Timothy was young, physically weak, and he got sick frequently. Even so, Paul wanted Timothy to join the team. I'd like to pause in this message for any of you who do struggle with health issues, and you wonder at times if you are capable of being used of God or if your health will become a hindrance of the ability of God to use you in your life. And I am here to tell you this morning that God is bigger than health issues, and your limitations are not God's limitations. And if you have needs, God can work through your needs. As a matter of fact, he'll capitalize on your needs and make them a part of his plan to reach other people. Thank you. I got one amen. So this is good. Okay? So please know that God is not limited by your need. Your need is his opportunity. Now you can say amen. All right, praise be to God. Paul had been chosen by God. Silas had been chosen by the Jerusalem church and by God. Timothy was next in the selection process and been confirmed by God. In process of time, Luke was going to be added to this threesome and turned into a foursome because God does things like that. Now, it's been fun for me, Pastor, to watch God adding people to Mercy Hill and your numerous campuses that are located in a variety of places around Wisconsin. God keeps adding people to Mercy Hill. Right now, the church nationwide and worldwide is being tested. Are you aware of that? The church worldwide is being tested. And the test is to find out if we're true followers of Jesus. No amens yet. Okay? To find out if we're true followers of Jesus through ups, downs, struggles, pains, sorrows, political struggles, division of people, to find out if we will love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, and what I just told you is biblical. I'm getting a few amens. So the church is being tested. People are important. Others are needed. Relationships are vital. Sometimes God involves us with people that are very different than we are. You're supposed to smile on that. And then we need to decide if we'll trust God for those differences, that we will forgive when somebody does something we do not like, that we will care even when others are not caring, that we will humble ourselves when our circumstances are a mess, and that we will esteem others as more important than self. So, who are the people that God has placed in your life? And do you accept them as the gift God intends them to be for you? Okay? So people are part of God's guidance. Second thought. God's guidance includes an ordered plan for living. And I'm reading to you from Acts 16, 6 through 11. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we set out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. The team headed north, then west. Together, they were praying for God to open doors. The Holy Spirit closed the door to Asia. They continued on to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit gave no open door for ministry there. The doors closed in Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, and Bithynia. The answers of God were no, 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 and no. Yeah. All right. Laughter usually means that you're identifying. Okay. But then they arrived in Troas, where Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia asking for help. The open door from God was revealed, and the team was ready to respond. By this time, Luke was on board. The gospel was to be taken to another continent. The good news was to be preached in the vicinity that we call Europe. God was calling the team to Macedonia across the Aegean Sea. Now I have a question for you. Has God ever told you no? Yes? Has God ever told you no more than once? More than twice. Many times. Are any of you in this room experiencing a whole lot of no's in your life from God right now? Whole lot of no's. No and no and no and no. Okay? So my question for you is, are you willing for God to tell you no? Are you willing? Because you can decide to make something happen on your own. You can. Have you ever done it? I've done it. Do I like what I did after I've done it? And the answer is no. So will I accept God's no when his no is given to me? Yes, yes. And will you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your daily life? So this account is about Macedonia. Our son Connor was on a mission trip to Macedonia, and they were staying in the capital city, and it had been arranged for them to share the gospel in a Muslim school. And the day that they were there, and the students, all of them, had been gathered, Muslim in their background, and they had been gathered, and Connor and team were going to share Jesus as Son of God, risen from the dead, who forgives sins and gives eternal life. And while they were doing that, the Kosovo Liberation Army was stockpiling weapons in the school at the same time. Another part of the building, they were stockpiling for an attack on the government, which was going to happen the next day. And so they shared the gospel. The opportunity to come to Christ was given the students, the teachers, the administration. And the next day, they were about 5 minutes from the location, the geographic location of the school, and in that area, the city where they were was up on a hill, and they could look down and see the school below, and the Kosovo Liberation Army began their attack on the government officials, and they could see it as it was unfolding, and 37 people were killed. Does God orchestrate the life of them that follow Jesus? You're silent right now. Does God orchestrate the life of them that follow Jesus? Does he have a perfect plan for us as we follow him? We were witnessing the whole thing unfold on CNN. They're rather quick to know what's going on in the world. And despairing on behalf of Connor and team and wondering what kind of circumstance they were in. We knew that they had been in the school and that they were in the vicinity, and yet God was with them and giving guidance. The no's on certain days, the yes's on others, the open doors that are given, the Holy Spirit leads. Can you trust the Spirit of the Lord to guide your life? And the answer is yes. What's your name? Kimberly? Thank you, Kimberly. You're my amen corner. I just love it that you're here today. Okay, Kimberly. Okay, third point. God's guidance reveals a divine purpose. And we need to know that God has purpose in our life. So the foursome finally arrived in the city of Philippi in Macedonia. It was known as a miniature Rome of its day. There was no synagogue, and so they went to the place of prayer by the Gangites River and sat down to speak to the women that had gathered there for worship. And so the first person to come to Christ was Lydia. In the passage, Acts 16:13 and following, says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who'd gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, she was a prosperous business person. Now, she was coming to faith in Christ through Jesus Christ. And her household was to follow. So the next person to come to the Lord in this vicinity is a fortune teller. Acts 16:16 and following, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out to her." At that moment, the spirit left her. So this revival is taking place in Philippi, and it appears that this young woman who's following is telling the truth. They're messengers of the Lord, giving the way of salvation, but Paul is annoyed in his heart because something is not right. Discernment lets us know when things are not as they seem. Does that make sense? Okay. And he finally took authority over the demonic power that was at work in her and commanded the spirit to come out, and she was delivered. The citizens of this vicinity responded to the owner of this girl. We do not believe in slavery, amen. And there's a whole lot of it on our planet still today, and human trafficking that needs to be stopped, amen. Okay. I shouldn't tell you to say amen when you say amen, but I'm telling you to say amen. Okay, so finally the deliverance came. The owners became upset. A riot took place, and Paul and Silas are arrested. They're put in prison. They're beaten bloody. They're in a dungeon and bruised, and they end up having a praise session that night in their prison cell, and a jailer comes to Christ, Acts 16:25 through 27. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when he thought the prisoners had escaped. So Paul and Silas, bound in stocks, began to sing and gave praise to God. An earthquake took place thereafter, and the prison doors flew open. The chains fell off, Kimberly. The chains fell off. The jailer was awakened. He thought his prisoners were going to escape, and then he would be in jeopardy, so he decided to kill himself until Paul told him, "Do not do that. We're all here." And it was the opportunity for the jailer to come to Christ and his family. Praise be to God. So God keeps adding people to the kingdom. At some point, you were each added to the kingdom, and your family being added to the kingdom. Do you believe in household salvation and relatives added to the kingdom, and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews? And one by one, many are being brought to Jesus Christ. Your purpose for living is to live for the pleasure of God. You were created for the pleasure of God. Now, that could sound selfish on the part of the maker of the universe, but it's not at all. He loves you, and you are created for his pleasure, and he knows every aspect of your makeup and identity and what he made you to do on this planet until you meet him face to face. Paul trusted God for this, so did Silas, along with Timothy and Luke, and people were being added to God's kingdom one by one, and the gospel message was being propagated. They continued their journey. They went to Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, back to Caesarea, Jerusalem, and eventually returned to Antioch. The whole passage was 3 years of time, and people were coming to faith in God through Jesus Christ. Our life is a journey, amen? Our life is a journey. So I shared with you today that we're talking about guidance from God. And I want to talk to you who have been experiencing a whole bunch of no's from God. Now, you could say the no is from somebody else, and the no is from circumstance, and the no is because of social unrest, and the no is because of health. But ultimately, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your no's come from God. Does that make sense? That he can be trusted enough to be the one that is guiding you. So, how many of you are experiencing a whole bunch of no's from God right now? Okay, whole bunch of no's. All right? Lots of us in the room, a whole bunch of no's. I have someone on my heart who's been experiencing a whole bunch of no's, and I'm sensing in my soul on their behalf that this message is prophetic for them. Prophetic. Because eventually, God gives a yes. Still with me? Eventually, God gives a yes. And I am wanting to pray for those of you who raised your hand for a whole bunch of no's, for you to realize the yes given by God. Okay? So if you're in that situation, can I invade your space? I'm not going to come from here. You got masks on. You're frightening. Okay? But I'm going to invade your space by asking you to respond. If God's been giving you a whole bunch of no's and you want to be prepared to receive his yes, I'd like to pray for you right now and ask for you to stand. Would you do so if you can? Okay, we're going to pray for God's yes to be realized in your life today. And this is an exciting time. Hallelujah. All right, shall we? Lord God, merciful, giver of life and breath and everything else of purpose, we're asking for you to show yourself mighty in the life of every person who is standing to receive the yes that you are giving. And Lord, I'm standing in personally for someone else who I know has received one no after another. No, and no, and no, and no. And has decided to not mistrust you or turn on you or resort to fleshly maneuvers to do what he wants, but to look to God for the Spirit's answer and solution, and praying that for him, praying that for every person who stands to receive the yes of God today. And we're standing before you for your mighty yes to be revealed. And we thank you for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
John, I want to thank you for that message. In each of our lives, it's easy for us to lose sight of the hand of God orchestrating our lives. But all throughout Scripture, what I see is that our Father has our best at heart. Like that's the good Father, right? That's the good Father who loves his children and has a plan for his children and want what's best for his children. That's our Father. It's so easy for us at times to believe that the circumstances are dictating our lives. It's so easy for us to believe our choices are ultimately dictating our lives. But our Father's hand is working and finding peace and joy and hope in the midst of circumstances that we think aren't the way it should be is the beauty of being a Christian. We can do that because our good Father has our best at heart. Do you stand with me? We're going to go to a time of worship, and what I want to invite you to do is to sense the hand of God at work. See him, feel him, reach out to him. Be engaged in the reality that your good Father loves you and has a plan for you. Father, we come to you in this moment. Many of us come to you in this moment with fear. Many of us come to you in this moment with doubt. Many of us come to you in this moment with frustration. Father, we come to you in this moment to lay those all at your feet, to press into your presence, to, as children would, climb up on the lap of our Father and feel your love, your strength. Your comfort. We come to you, Father.